Welcome to the For the Church podcast, another great gospel-centered resource from Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. My name is Jared Wilson. I'm an assistant professor of pastoral ministry and author in residence at Midwestern Seminary. And I'm here, as always, with my friend and my colleague and my co-host, Ross Ferguson.
The delay is back.
I don't want to pause, dramatic pause.
I don't have the fancy, you know, Jared C. Wilson. I don't have a middle name, so I don't have the fancy.
You know what I was just thinking while I was saying it? I've been saying assistant professor for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
If and when I get to the stage of associate professor, I don't know if it's going to roll off the tongue. I have to remind myself.
Do you want to give it a go now and try and see if it does it
Jared
roll?
Jared C. Wilson. What would I say? I don't even remember how to say it. My name is Jared Wilson.
Associate professor. No, it doesn't, right? It doesn't go as well.
It doesn't go as well.
But I think what goes well is just skipping the associate and just saying professor.
Yeah, but I don't. That's a big stolen valor.
That's like a big promotion.
You have to really achieve that.
Well, you know what I get is no professor. I've still got to go away. I got a while to go yet. One of the things I get, I actually get called professor quite a lot because in other institutes, academic advisors are usually professors. And so we'll get things like, Professor Ferguson or something like that. I'll get that email. But something always happens. They incorrectly call my first name. And I think it's, I don't know something about how I say it on the phone, but I say my name is Ross.
Yeah.
And they always email me Professor Russ.
Russ.
I'm always Professor Russ on those types of emails.
It's never occurred to me that you pronounce Ross like Russ. It sounds Russ.
Yeah.
But
what's worse,
I just know your name
is when the people send a message, when I say the people, the students of Midwestern Seminary send an email saying, I have an appointment with Mrs. Ferguson. I'm like, that would be my mother. So I'm not quite sure what has happened there.
Wouldn't your wife also be a Mrs. Ferguson?
Yeah, but I don't know if she's ever gone by Mrs. Ferguson.
Yeah. I don't know if Becky's ever gone by Mrs. Wilson either. Well, from the South, so everyone calls
her. It's always first.
Well, they say Miss Becky.
Yeah.
And it's not even Mrs. Becky. It's Miss Becky, even though she's married. Yeah. It's just a Southern thing to do. Yeah. And like my in-laws, I call my father-in-law, my mother-in-law, are Mr. Jerry and Miss Bonnie.
Oh.
Isn't that weird?
Well, I was about to say, is it kind of American thing? I feel like in the UK, it's just, it's sir or miss. Like, that's what you would say. And if you were talking about, like, I would never say Miss Becky, I would just say Becky. Even if I was talking to, like, kids in the church, I would say, hey, Becky. Like, you wouldn't put the Miss Becky in it. It's just, I think that's an American kind of.
You know what's falling out of fashion over here? It used to just be polite, but it's now considered offensive if you say ma'am.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
ma'am.
Yeah, if you say ma'am or sir, if you say yes, ma'am, they're like, whoa. Yeah. I'm like, no, I'm being polite. This is just what, but people take that as like, I'm calling them an old lady or something. I don't know.
So I went to an all boys high school and it was very much everyone was sir or miss. And you would see teachers and things like that outside of school and they would be more relaxed, but it was still sir. It was sir all the times. Even after you left high school, it's still sir.
Yeah.
And I think I've just kind of had that ingrained in me that that's just how I now say it.
I get asked all the time, especially if I have church members in a class and they're like, what do I call you? Should I call you Pastor Jared in this context? Like, no, don't do that.
Yeah.
Do I call you professor? No, just call me Jared. I just tell everybody to call me Jared. But I'm telling you, when I get that doctorate, it's all changing.
All I'm going to say.
Everyone must call me Dr. Wilson.
I love it. I love it when you're on like a panel or maybe you're a conference speaker.
Yeah, okay.
Trying to set you up. And they'll say something like, we have Dr. So-and-so and Dr. So-and-so and Jared Wilson. Do you ever have that moment?
You know what? I don't need that doctor to prop me up.
Yeah.
My record stands for itself.
I love how Dr. Dusing does it. Dr. Dusing would be like, and we have Dr. Allen and we have Dr. Introducing, and we have Professor Wilson. Like he's giving you the title.
He wants me to have a title.
He wants you to have a title. Yeah. So I always love that when I see that.
Yeah, so, I feel the pressure. I gotta get that thing done.
That was a transition, Jared.
That was a good transition.
Yeah, I think it was good.
Conferences. I thought it might be good to have just sort of a, I was gonna say grab bag, but we have an actual feature of the podcast called grab bag, but just sort of a miscellaneous conference.
Yeah.
We just talked about pastors' books, previous episode. Pastors and other Christians, they like conferences. Yes. But I feel like we have a shifting
appreciation okay. or relationship, evangelicals, I guess I should say, particularly evangelicals in our tribe with conferences. There was a time, probably a 10-year window in particular, where we lived for the conference. There was mm-hmm. a big conference, at least one big one every year, probably more than one big one every year that we made time for, and it was a huge deal, and you'd go, and they had a hashtag, and it was just, it was the deal. You want to go hear these great speakers. Yeah. And then we kind of got burnt out on it a little bit. They're still around. Big conferences are still around. I feel like our relationship to conferences has changed. And I just thought, well, you could talk about yeah. our history with conferences, our yeah. thoughts about conferences, kind of like the baptism episode. We just talk about everything related to baptism. Yeah. But then also like, hey, if you wanted to have a conference or yeah. host a conference, or you and I have both spoken at events like that. Yep. So what do we look for, and what would, do we enjoy when we speak at conferences? Those sorts of things.
Well, let's start with this simple question.
Okay,
simple. In a word, yeah. do you like conferences?
In a word?
In one word. Make
yes,
the choice.
But it's complicated.
No.
I'll give you an example. Okay. So when I was a younger pastor, and especially at the height of the kind of the gospel-centered thing, I went to TGC and T4G, you know, which alternated yeah. years. I went to both of those every year. And, you know, I didn't have a lot of money to go to other conferences. So it was like that was the one. Mm. And I had a little bit of a budget at my last church for that thing and didn't quite cover everything, but it was a good offset.
Yes.
And so, and I would take my wife usually with me as well. And it's just, we made it a point. That's just what we're doing. And I remember going and like, I'm at every session.
Yeah.
I'm taking notes. And yeah. I mean, every session. And I remember early on, oh, this is probably one of the early T4Gs. Maybe even like the second or third T4G. And I ran into Tim Challies mm-hmm. outside the venue, and he was sitting down, his back against the wall with his laptop open. And I had known Tim for a little while. So, I mean, I've known Tim since like 2003, so in the early days of blogging. So I've known him for about 20 years or so. And so I ran into him, knew who he was, so we just started talking. And I was like, oh, did you hear so-and-so, you know, speaker? I don't remember which one, but yeah. did you see so-and-so's session? And he was like, no, he goes, no, I don't go to any of the sessions. And I was like, I was blown away. I was like, what? Why would you come all the way here
yeah.
and not go to any of the preaching sessions? And he yeah. goes, I just come here to see people.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's so stupid. Now, uh-huh. however long ago that was, 12 years ago or 50, yeah. you know, whatever, I hardly ever go to sessions. I go to the conferences to yeah. see people.
Yep.
So he was ahead. He's always been ahead of his time, but he was ahead yeah. of his time even then. So it's complicated. I like conferences yep. as a pretext
yes.
to see brothers and sisters that I yep. don't normally get to see.
I've had exactly the same journey.
Okay.
So I love conferences, but what I don't like about conferences is just how tiring they are mm-hmm. when you try to do everything.
Yeah.
So what I used to say to people is go to all the main speakers, but not the breakout sessions, or go to all the breakout sessions and not the main speakers, because you'll usually yeah. see them online. Now I just kind of say, do not pack your whole day. Like just
yeah, right.
If you want to go to a main session in the morning and a breakout session afternoon, great, fine. Just don't pack your whole day. So I went to TGC last year, went to all the main sessions. I was actually helping out publishers selling books and things like that. So I didn't go to any of the breakout sessions. I think I actually went to one. And again, it was just that I felt overloaded, and that means I just get really tired and I begin to kind of shut down and not take things in. And what I found for me is just going to the main sessions allowed enough input of information into me to be inspired, encouraged, challenged. And then it gave me time to then go and to talk to other people and just go, oh, it's great to see you. Yeah. What have you been encouraged by? What have you been challenged by? So I agree. I think it's a, yes, I think conferences are fantastic. But what I've learned over the years is where you get burnt out is when you try to do everything. Yeah. Try to go to every booth, every session, buy every book they recommend. Do you know, you don't have to do that. You can do 50% of what's on offer and still be unbelievably blessed.
It's like some of them, like drinking from a fire hose mm-hmm. effect, which, you know, some people enjoy that. They yes. do want, you know, maybe they're hurting for content. And I'm thinking of myself in those early days, like,
yes.
one reason I went to every session is not just because I thought, oh, this is what you're supposed to do. It's because I really was eating up this gospel-centered stuff yes. that was new to me. And these were guys that I admired and respected, and they're helping me see things that I didn't see mm-hmm. before. And And so, yeah, man, I'm ready to drink from this fire hose. After a while, when it's like each session's it's an hour long talk or an hour long sermon, and there's, you know, five of them or six of them in a day, and it's just, it's a lot, and it all begins to kind of crowd each other out. Yeah. And so, yeah, it got to where I would start thinking, oh, I'll go to this one on this day or this one, and, you know, I'll do two per day or just one, you know. And that's why then, you know, guys like Dever, who organized T4G, they stopped advertising who speaks when, so it wouldn't become a popularity contest. Everyone, otherwise everyone would go to Piper's and to Chandler's or whatever and that sort of thing. So maybe that's a good segue into what conferences, the bad rap that they eventually got, especially these kind of conferences that we're talking about specifically, the celebrity kind of component, the conference star, the conference celebrity. Do conferences reinforce the idea of a Christian celebrity?
I think so. Yeah. I think it does. I mean, so too. So FTC, I've been to the last couple of FTCs. You close out the For the Church conferences. Do you do that every year? You're the closing?
Yeah, except for the year I had to go to my daughter's wedding.
Okay.
Yeah, they moved me up so I could get a flight. Yeah.
And there is definitely a sense of, so at the For the Church conference, I think you're probably one of the names that a lot of people are excited to hear from, especially if they've traveled into Midwestern. And I do think there is that air of, He's here, and we're going to hear from him.
That's interesting.
And it was like 2 years ago, the one you preached, it was really interesting because I felt like there was an excitement in the room for you to speak. Mm. And then your subject matter was so Christ-focused, so focused on exaltation of Christ, that it was almost, you could tell the room started to change that feeling, and there was a sense of praise and worship as you were preaching. And it was that reminder of, like, it's just Jared. It's the message that's important.
Yeah.
I felt the same at TGC last year, that there was this sense of, you know, look who it is. Look who's coming to speak. And their content often will change the people in the room. Mm. And one of the things I think of that I've noticed at conferences is you'll hear, you know, wasn't Jared great or wasn't Piper amazing? Not, man, that message blew my socks off. Mm-hmm. Like, and I think that's what it tends to happen. So I really love conferences that platform, and I don't even like that word. What I just simply mean is that the speaker is a mix of guys that are unknown and known.
Yeah.
And what you'll find is the unknown guys preach just as good as the known guys, because it's the same word they're preaching from. And it's the beauty of that word coming through. And at TGC recently, a lot of the sessions were kind of unknown guys, and they had great reports on them and great kind of speakings. So yeah, I do think though, it elevates the popularity, the famous nature of it. Do you experience that? Like, you are known. Do you feel when you go to conferences, there's a, oh, it's Jared Wilson. Do you get that?
I don't. I think it's not quite where it used to be, which is a good thing.
Yes.
I don't think I don't think conference goers care as much about that, but I think they still care.
Yeah.
And the reason I know that is because one of the common complaints that, you know, we sometimes hear is, oh, it's the same speakers at every big conference is the same, you know, four or five guys, or at least the same four or five core.
Yeah.
And there's a reason for that. And part of it is people won't go if those guys aren't there.
Yes.
I have organized, perhaps you have too, but I have organized a conference that largely revolved around lesser known guys. Yes. They weren't totally unknown, but guys who don't have huge platforms, they don't have best-selling books, they don't pastor mega churches, because this is what everybody says they want. Oh, if only there were a conference with ordinary pastors who only pastor 200 something church.
Yeah.
I did it 3 years in a row. Nobody came.
Yeah.
And I mean, these were guys that, you know, maybe they had a book out, you know, it's guys like Ronnie Martin and John Amwuchekwa and, you know, guys like that, Joe Thorne and some others, Zach Eswine I've had. And it just, it wasn't a draw.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the reason why TGC and those others always have Kevin DeYoung and always have is because people want to go hear from Kevin DeYoung and whatever.
100%.
So you can rail against that celebrity factor, but
you're kind of creating it by
put your money where your mouth is, because the reason they do that is because this is how to make a viable conference, is to have those guys. The trick is that you have enough of those guys to draw people.
But not too many.
But not, it's just all celebrities, yeah. But you are introducing people yeah. to lesser known
100%. Guys. 100%. I think that's accurate. East of Scotland Gospel Partnership used to be based in Edinburgh. They had Matt Chandler filled out like a 900-seater. They had Kevin DeYoung. I think it was like 1,000 people turned up. And then they felt like they were going a little too much the celebrity way.
Yeah.
And the East of Scotland Gospel Partnership was really based on church planting in the area and gospel movement in the area. So they decided to do a church planting conference, but from the local pastors themselves. So the idea was like, we are the guys that know this area. Let us preach God's word and encourage church planting.
Yeah.
And I remember going to that, there was maybe 50 people there. Maybe 50. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what happened afterwards because we moved, but I'm almost certain the East of Scotland Gospel Partnership basically didn't run conferences after that. And it was just that if you don't have the name, as you say, people don't turn up. On the flip side, I loved going to Proctrust EMA, which is in London, and that would pull in, you know, well over 1,000 people. And they had a mix of known and unknown names. Specifically, the known names were usually American, but therefore unknown in the UK. And that would often be just astounding because people were like, I've never heard of this guy, but it turns out everyone in America has heard of him. And then I also really loved going to the FIEC annual conference, Fellowship of Independent Evangelical Churches. They almost never platformed a big name. It was big names within the FIEC, but not really big names out of it. And because it was an annual, all the pastors from all their churches would come. It was like, it doesn't really matter who's speaking. It was just that we're grateful to be together. So I think different conferences have done it well. I think somewhere like TGC, they're going to struggle because by the nature of TGC, a lot of the people that speak and work with TGC are these big names.
Yeah.
So the bigger conferences do have to work at slotting in some new guys, I think.
Yes.
And that's hard because there is a risk in that as well.
Well, you're thinking even just in terms of generational endurance, like it's not just that people may get tired of the same speaker, but how do you, I mean, are you just a legacy ministry? Like we're just going to platform these guys for the next 30 years. Well, then what happens when those guys are too old?
What's the next?
Or they pass away and you haven't helped, introduce younger voices or other or just other voices that are less known and that sort of thing. What you described in UK, I think somewhat similar in Australia. I've done a number of events over there as well where when the bigger conferences, at least when they have like there's one, I think it's every other year in Sydney, it's called Oxygen. And that would be like, there is TGC Australia, but that would be like their big gospel centered kind of conference. Is Oxygen. And it's usually a mix. So like the year I did it, it was myself, Bob Coughlin, Jen Wilkin. We were like the ones they brought from outside.
Yes.
But then there was like six or seven.
Local.
It was majority, regional folks, people that they knew quite well and were, and they didn't have a hang up about that.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I learned rather quickly that they have a kind of a skittish, Australian believers do, skittish relationship with the idea of like celebrities, especially homegrown people who get big, they have the tall poppy syndrome.
Yes.
Like someone is a tall poppy, you got to cut it down.
Cut them down.
You got to cut it down. You're getting what we would say, too big for your britches kind of thing. So they, in my estimation, they have a healthier, it's probably not totally healthy, but a healthier relationship with the idea of Christian celebrity than we do.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that is just born out of like their context. Christianity is not cultural.
Yeah.
There, at least in most places. And so like when someone is respected or admired or rises to a level of influence, it's usually for good reasons, at least within, we're setting aside kind of the Hillsong kind of weird stuff, but within, good reformed evangelicalism or what have you, the ones who kind of rise to influence over there tend to be those who have somewhat deserves that influence. They're not just great speakers,
I think that's very similar to the UK as well.
Yeah.
I think the UK is like that. Staying with big conferences, because I think we do need to touch on smaller conferences, but staying with big conferences for a moment, breakout sessions.
Yeah.
So these are kind of my bugbear a little bit with breakout sessions.
Okay.
So what I don't like, and this is just personal preference, I don't like another big session in a breakout session. I think sessions should be different.
Should be like a workshop.
They should offer something different.
Practical or something?
I just think how they, so I, again, TGC last year, there was the Knowing Faith podcast. I was about to say a sister podcast, but but they're not.
No.
But Knowing Faith podcast did. I think you were on that.
Dr. Barrett and I.
There was then a couple of other podcasts. There was
Live recordings of podcasts.
Live recordings. Yeah, okay. There was panel sessions. There was one that was just come and meet people from this state. We're all going to be here. State representatives are going to be come and meet by. There was like booths you could come by that they would offer different things. I just think giving breakout sessions a variety, because if you've just done like an hour session and in 2 hours time you're getting another, and 2 hours and you're getting another, you've got say 3 to 5 sessions that are just heavy and you're getting fed big time there. Give other options. So again, going back to the, you don't have to go to everything, but if you're going to have other things, I like the variety. So at TGC, I went to one of those meet and greet ones. That was great. I didn't know anybody. I just was like, hey, I'm Ross. Who are you? And it was just
and they're
that,
like, Russ, it's good to meet you.
Yeah, it's Russ. It was actually just after one of those, I met Drew Dick. And I was able to talk to him about his book, because he was just hanging around there. And I think it was just one of those things that I don't think you need 8 hours straight of 8 different sessions teaching. I think you can offer variety.
Hey, everyone. We're excited to share a special opportunity this month to get your next summer book for free. During the month of July, Midwestern Seminary is giving away the entire Puritan paperback series to one lucky participant. The set contains 49 volumes from the Puritans, including titles such as The Bruised Reed by Richard Sibbes, The Mortification of Sin by John Owen, The Heart of Christ by Thomas Goodwin. Enter to win the set this July by visiting mbts.edu/mbtsbooks. That's mbts.edu/mbtsbooks. The Puritans have proved so formative for so many today, so don't miss out on your chance to get the entire set for free. Again, enter to win by visiting mbts.edu/mbtsbooks. Best of luck. A minor counterpoint, if I could offer, just from my own experience. So in the past, especially TGC, because T4G, I don't even think they do breakouts. They did early on, I think. But TGC used to have this wide variety of breakouts, lots of breakout sessions. And the reason I didn't mind that it would be just a guy preaching is typically it was the guys that I more wanted to hear from than the guys that were on the main stage.
Yep.
So for whatever reason, and TGC people, if you're listening to this, I do not know why you have not put Ray Ortlund on the main stage. I think he did it 1 year out of all the times they've done it. Anyway, I could go on and on. I'm just very bitter about that. But where I could hear Ray was in a breakout session. And I would like, Ray's doing a breakout. And you go, and there's 200 people in the room, and it's a little conference unto itself. Yeah. And Ray's doing a presentation of some kind, and sometimes, and it, you know, it's him presenting. And it would be a similar thing to what he would do on a main stage.
Yeah.
And that would be my only opportunity to hear someone like him. And I can think of numerous breakout sessions that were like that, where I'm like, man, this was to me better.
I know that FTC has played around with this a little bit in terms of breakout sessions, and I know we've struggled really, FTC for the Church Conference here at Midwestern Seminary. I know we've struggled a little bit with attendance at different ones and how to get people to them
in the breakout sessions.
And one of the things that's deemed kind of relatively popular is when food is involved. So it's like at lunchtime, there's a session there's free coffee at this session or whatever. And I think that's kind of partly, I guess I don't mind if it's a sermon every single time, but there needs to be a different flavor to it. There needs to be some food to it or a book present.
So there's just a little different presentation.
Something a little bit different.
The one that, the thing that, so like what TGC does now, and I'm going to tread lightly here, but they moved away from like the wide variety or the wide number of offerings where you could hear from these guys who give these sessions, and it's now more sponsored content. And I'm sure the huge consideration for that is financial. But if you want a breakout session, you have a publisher or another ministry.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've done that. Midwestern has done that. There's been FTC breakout sessions even at TGC, there's a Midwestern Seminary, event or a For the Church event or something like that. And it's just sort of like, they want people to buy their way into a breakout. And again, I was on the Knowing Faith one.
Yep.
Next year, I'll be on a Zondervan panel at TGC. So you know, you know, I am engaged in those things, but I just miss the days of here are 10 options during this slot.
And because these
here
are the 10 we
options
think is
during
best.
This slot. Yeah. Here's 10 options. And I'm sure it's just not financially viable anymore to do it that way. But but I miss that, being able to even be like, oh, I can't go here. You know, so, Doug Logan, because I want to go hear this person.
Again, I think that is a US thing, because I don't recall, I mean, I haven't been in the UK for a couple of years now, but I don't recall conferences being in the UK being sponsored in that way. Mm-hmm. It tend to be like, this is the conference, this is what we're doing, and if you want sponsorship, then you can get a table close to it. Like, it was that kind of, it's more the conference is designed and built, and then sponsorship's added to the top of that. I even know with our own FTC conference that there is an element of sponsorship in terms of those publishers being there and what they want to do. I don't think there's anything inherently wrong, but I agree with you.
Wrong with
it's
it. It's
just, not. It
doesn't
feel
the same.
Yeah. Okay. Shifting a little bit to smaller conferences. I really enjoy smaller conferences. I really enjoy that it's not 1,000 people, that it's like 50 to 300 or whatever. I really enjoy them. My big like is when it's a one-day thing.
Okay.
I don't really like the overnight or the two and a half days. I think the reality is a lot of people just don't have a lot of time. So whatever you're padding to make it 2 days, make it 1 day. Even make it a full day, during like 9 till 8 at night, whatever. Just make it 1 day. And again, it's the, are you just adding breakout sessions for the sake of it? Or could you just do 3 main sessions and a lunch, you know, like do something that lightens it. So I really enjoy 1 day conferences. We went to one at, it was south of the city. I think it was a men's conference. I just remember there was biscuits and gravy for breakfast. We went south and I remember that was maybe 100 guys. I think you did 3 sessions. It wasn't over the top. It was 1 day. It was really encouraging for them. And I really enjoyed even just being there with them. So I'm a big fan of I guess what we call the micro conferences, that different churches host those. And I'm also a big fan of at those conferences, that's the location where you tend not to have the biggest names and you open the door to your church to hear of other things and other people that support the same things that you've been preaching at. So I'm a big fan of kind of 1 day conferences. I think as a church, you should only really do 1 or max 2 a year. I don't think you want to burn your people out with this is the quarter and this is the conference, or this year we're doing this conference and this conference. Yeah. I think just really think about what your church needs, specifically in terms of encouragement, and that's the conference kind of content. You know, this church that I'm helping out at the minute, they've gone through a long season of trial. I could see a conference day on, you know, the promises of Christ or something like that, because that's going to be encouraging to them. You've traveled a lot for different kind of micro style conferences. What's your favorite style?
Yeah, I think, you know, I like the kind of medium range. I don't speak at a whole lot of the big conferences, you know, very few. You know, FTC would probably be the largest event that I do every year. I've done Oxygen before, and I've spoken to big churches before, like, you know, doing Cutting It Straight this year for the first time. That's a pretty big conference, I think. But most of the conferences I do are in the small to kind of medium range thing. And when it's super small, sometimes it just feels a little awkward. I don't know the way that I preach and teach. I think I'm better with larger groups than small groups. But in that kind of 100 to 400, 500 kind of range, there is just a different spirit. It's a different atmosphere. There's a conference I've done twice in Nebraska, and it's just area churches that put it on. Mm. It's no big names. It's area pastors that's essentially it's several churches that all cooperate, and it's usually their pastors.
Yeah.
And they do it every year. I've only done it twice, so they've had me come up twice to do it. I'd be the only guy with, like, you know, books and things. Mm. But so it's just local guys. But there's like 1,200, 1,300 folk. Like, but they've been doing it for a long time.
Yeah.
And so I think it took a while for these other churches have bought in. The whole community of these churches in this city kind of all sort of like, oh, this is what we do every year. Mm. And it's a great, I hate to use the word, but it's a great vibe. The people are just very joyful.
Yep.
They sing well. They're really excited about the preaching. They do, you know, certain subjects. So 1 year that I went, they preached through the high priestly prayer. Wow. So they had me kind of do an introductory overview, and then each guy after did a section of the prayer. This most recent time I went, it was on the Messianic Psalms. Mm-hmm. So I did kind of an overview of the Messianic Psalms, and then each guy did a different psalm after that. And it's just a unique thing. So when it's kind of a community event, and you've got buy-in probably from multiple churches, that's where I've seen some churches struggle. It's like, we've invited other folks to come, but we don't know if they'll come or not, and we're not sure. Yeah.
And dare I say, I think maybe the vibe element is because there isn't as much sponsorship or external input into it, that the people that are organizing are kind of going like, again, what is just the best for our area and our people? Yeah. I do think that it's a good place to give resources, different books, different materials. But again, just a kind of more gentler environment to do so. At the bigger conference, it's just like, whoa, there's so much going on. Where I think when it's in a church building that it's maybe even known locally, that can really help. And it also just really boosts the local area. In the UK, the micro conferences are definitely much smaller. So you're looking at kind of 20 to even 75 people. I have found those a real blessing because it's very relaxed and it's more about building one another up. Yeah. And our conference would even be potentially a stretch to call it that, almost like a local gathering in that sense. But I really enjoyed those, especially kind of like Saturday morning conference, where you would go and it would just be the morning. You'd have breakfast, a couple of sessions, and then encourage each other to go for lunch in the local area. That seemed to always really encourage that local church or that local environment. So I really enjoyed those.
Yeah, can I tell you a dynamic that's strange to me? Maybe this could be a transition just to talking about if someone's organizing a conference, someone's to host a conference. When there's a very large church and they put on a Bible conference and like 15 people show up.
Yeah.
I have questions.
Yes.
And it's not like, if you wanted a big, I guess if you got a big name in there, a bigger name than mine, more people would come perhaps. But I just find it strange that like this is your Bible conference.
Yes.
Your church is, 1,000 people or something. And you can only get like 30 or 40 people to your Bible conference. What does that say about either? I mean, it may just be communication. Do people not even know that you have this event? If they do know, why don't they care?
Yep.
Like, what is it? What's the disconnect between your motivation for motivating people to come to your comp? Yeah. Do they not value this?
Yeah.
Is it not a thing that they're interested in? So I sometimes think, subject matter probably matters. Sometimes the conference is built around, a pet view of one of the pastors or something. Good reliable standbys are marriage conferences and different things like that. People will show up for some of those things.
Yeah.
But it's just interesting to me. And, and again, I'm not trying to put my finger on exactly what it is. I just always find that an odd dynamic when there's a very large church and this event they put on, nobody comes. Yeah. And I just think you couldn't convince your people to come to this thing.
Yeah, which again might be a signal of burnout as well of just your
offering too much. Maybe there's a lot of
things.
You're just doing too much. Yeah, that's possible.
Okay, so switching from an experience of attending and being at what we like, what about organizing in terms of you as the speaker?
Okay.
What do you like? What do you not like? What do you want to see, not see, do? I know in a previous podcast we joked about green rooms. but just generally,
I was in one this past weekend that was literally green. The inside was painted, the walls were green.
This is your green room. What is it that you do and don't like as the speaker coming in from content to how your time is managed to just being there at the conference? What are some thoughts on that?
I don't have huge concern, like in terms of content, as long as someone's not asking me to speak on something that's just way outside of anything I normally speak on. And that's just very rare. Hardly, will you come in and give a talk on Christian education? Well, I could, but there's probably a lot of other guys who could do that a lot better than me. It's just not my field. But, when they want me to come in and preach a certain passage or do gospel centrality stuff or talked about pastoral ministry, something that I've published on, and that's usually what I get is, we just read this part of your book, or I read this. Could you talk about something related to Imperfect Disciple or Friendship with the Friend of Sinners? So that's what I like in terms of content. As it pertains to we can get in the weeds.
Go for it.
If you're hosting the thing, there's guys out there with really bad reputations for being kind of divas who speak at conferences, yep. and I'm sure it's given more than a few people bad taste in their mouths related to the celebrity concept. Mm. And I just want to say to those guys, none of them are listening. Celebrities don't listen to this podcast. But I want to say to those guys, your reputation
yes.
lingers
yes.
like a bad smell.
Yes.
And I have followed guys like as in they've done it the previous year and I do it the next year. And let me tell you, if you leave a really bad impression, they tell me.
Yeah.
I won't say the name, but I did an event once where a very big name guy had done it the year before. And I only discovered this. They weren't just like bad-mouthing the guy. They were like really nervous about mm-hmm. everything. They were like, is your room great? And I was like, yeah, the room's fine. They're like, okay, like temperature, da, 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 da. And I started going on and on and on. Yeah. And I was like, man, it's fine, man. The temperature is bad. I just turned the thermostat down, you know?
Yeah.
I was like, I'm a grown-up. I know how yeah. to like adjust things, you know? Yeah, it's fine. And they just were like so skittish about everything yeah. that I was like, where is this coming from? Well, the previous guy had like, he had to have a corner room and it had to have this certain size deal and it had to have this temperature. And it kind of reminds me of the Peter Dinklage's character in Elf yeah. where like the yeah. car must be at 68 degrees or whatever. Before I'll come in, it's got to be like that. Yeah. There are legit Christian speakers that yeah. have these sorts of things. And, yeah. you know, I have a little questionnaire that kind of works through like, what will you cover? What will you not?
Yeah.
That's what I'm most concerned about.
Yes.
I just want to like, is there clarity?
Yep.
This is how many times I'm speaking.
Yes.
This is what I'm speaking on. So there's clarity there. There's no curveballs. This is what you'll pay me
yep.
or what you won't or whatever. Like, so there's clarity there. There's no confusion. That's
yes.
That's I just want clarity. The things that it takes a lot to irk me.
Yeah.
Or because I just think like, man, it's just what a blessing somebody would even want me to come speak to their people.
Yes.
So like you have to go overboard and really do some kind of numbskull things yeah. for me to be like, oh, I didn't like that. But usually it boils down to things like asking me to do extra stuff on the fly. Like, yeah. hey, while we got you here, could you speak to da-da? And it's just that just. You know, feels bad. It's yeah. kind of like, oh, you want me to do, you know, extra stuff that wasn't yeah. agreed upon. And like, is that compensated or is it not?
Yeah.
That always kind of.
Yeah.
So just be clear.
Yeah. I was going to say exactly the same thing is just be clear, be open. I think not seeing some questions as a negative thing. So I think even just asking the question of like, what is the compensation? What expenses are covered? Yeah. What meals are covered? Travel's covered? And it's not the speaker asking, how much can I get?
Sure.
It's the speaker saying, I'm going to eat, I'm going to travel, I'm going to stay, and I just need to know, should I be sending that your way? Should I yeah. be covering that?
And I've learned that the hard way because when I started out, I just hate talking about money
yeah.
at all. But like when I started out speaking and, you know, external speaking engagements, I never asked for anything. Yes. And there was no questionnaire. There was nothing. No, and, you know, no contract or anything. Mm. And I'd go do events and I'm paying for my hotel. And yeah. I mean, I'm losing money. And I was, you know, not making a lot. I mean, yeah. you know, I was a small church pastor and, yeah. I wasn't making a lot of money or anything. And so I thought, okay, I need to adjust. Yeah. I need to either see this. People inviting me to speak is like, this is somehow my ministry yes. to them of like, I'm going to, you know, lose money on these things.
Yeah.
Or I need to create some appropriate level of clarity.
Yes.
So that this doesn't keep happening,
yeah.
you know. And even just time away, like you're taking out at that time, I'm taking time away from my wife and mm-hmm. from my kids. And sometimes I think some folks, they don't really think through yeah. that.
I think that's a really good point as well, including wife and family. There's been situations where I've kind of going, do you want me to bring Miriam? And yeah. they'll say like, feel free to bring Miriam. And it's a,
so feel free, like on my dime.
Am
or
I
your
paying
dime?
For yeah. that? And, yeah. And again, it's not me going, how much can I get out of this? It's going, I kind of need to understand, are you saying we'll cover you guys completely? And if that's the case, then maybe that's doable. Where if you're saying, actually, we'll pay your flight ticket, your hotel, your travel expenses, but Miriam's not included,
yeah.
you know, what does that mean? Also, what tone does that set as well? If Miriam does come, is there an awkwardness? So there, I think, again, clarity is a key one that I think does need to be given.
I would say, like, in the questionnaire that I send out, so I have a little booking form. People usually fill that out. We're interested in Jared speaking out or whatever. My wife actually gets those. It helps us with communication for her to be on the same page. So she gets yeah. those inquiries and then she sends a questionnaire out and it asks things like, what's the name of your event?
Yeah.
Where is it located specifically? How many people do you expect there? It's how many times do you want Jared to speak? What do you want Jared to speak on? And then it says what kind of accommodations, what kind of travel. Yeah. It says it lists my preference to travel with someone, whether yes. my wife or ministry assistant. And I ask, can you cover the travel expenses of this person? Yeah. And they can say no.
Yes.
And I won't bring another person.
Yeah.
It lists my preference of like, I don't like to drive myself. So yeah. It says, you know, can we have a host driver or I can Uber or something like yeah. that? Is this okay? I want there to be clarity there.
Yes.
So I don't show up and they go, here's your rental car. Like, yeah. I can't really do that. I want some clarity there. And then when it comes down to like, so this is my requested honorarium, but then it says there's accommodation made for other budgets.
Yeah.
You know, suggest another honorarium, you know.
Yeah.
And so I just want it to be as clear as possible. Yes. We all know what's going on. There's yep. no question about those sorts of things.
Yeah. And that frees you up to really serve the people in the moment yeah. because all those details have been dealt with. You don't have to think about the awkwardness of, as I leave, maybe we need to have a conversation about this. On the day, I'm probably a little bit different from you. I would be quite comfortable to be in the conference even when I'm not speaking.
Yeah.
I think personally, I don't think I would want to be at everything at the conference, but I think I'd be okay yeah. like being in the room, chatting with folks. I know you're probably a little bit more towards the prefer a quieter space to kind of head to. And again, that comes into the clarity thing of,
yeah.
do you want me to be involved in every aspect of this?
Oh, I see.
Are you willing for me to take some time out during the day? Do you want me to come and speak the first session and then stay for all seven sessions? Or are you okay if I come and speak for the first and then leave? Yeah. I think all of those things are just, they're not arrogant questions. They're just going, I want to help you run this event well. And just put all those details out.
Yeah. I would say just, again, I've organized or at least directed the organization of three different smaller conferences. One in Orlando. It was the same conference, but I did it once in Orlando and then twice here in Kansas City. What I learned is because I do not have strong administration or organizational skills, have people who do
yes.
run these things. So if you're, say, an associate pastor or assistant, you know, whatever your position is, like your job is to, you know, organize a conference and you're not strong in those areas, recruit volunteers mm-hmm. who are strong in those yes. areas and delegate some of these responsibilities. And I would say one of the biggest is just the level of promotion and communication.
Yes.
That, especially within a church community, how do you, assuming you're not over-programming your church, so you've got some breathability in your schedule, let people know well in advance.
Yes.
I did an event recently and went to the, I was trying to promote it myself, and I went to the church that was hosting it, went to the church calendar on their website
yeah.
to see, like, do they have a page and I can get some details. It's not even on the church website, yeah. this yeah. event. And I know it's on this particular day. And the closer we're getting, the week of, I'm like, I look, it's not on their website. Yeah. So I'm thinking, yeah, okay, you're mm-hmm. not even promoting this on your website. Maybe you're doing something else. I don't know. Yeah. But it's just things like that yep. to kind of create some visibility yeah. for it. Recruit the right people to help you.
Google Forms are really good. Mm. So just if, you know, either for the speaker or getting people's interest or something like that, a Google Form is really simple to create. So even if you're not administratively astute, like a Google Form is a really good way to go. And I agree, lots of information early, hammer it out there, get people knowing about it, all those things. Kind of two final things from me. Number sure. one, just ask. Like, just ask people if you want them to speak at your conference. So I've had a couple of people here at the seminary that have said, oh, my church is getting involved in this. We want a speaker. Who would you recommend? And it was actually a friend of mine, and I had recommended someone. They were like, oh, do you think they would come? And I was like, just ask them. Like, they can easily yeah. say no. They can easily say yes. I don't think we should have conferences as this kind of celebrity status of like, maybe they're not interested. Just ask. We're at FTC. We ask yeah. multiple people and it's just like, are you free and would you be willing to do this? And they're going to say no and they're going to say yes. And I think if we take some of that anxiety away and just go, I'll ask and see what happens. I'm a big believer in that. Just ask the question. So I think if you've got somebody in mind that you would like to speak at your conference, whether it's a local pastor or a bigger name or an author or something like that, just send them an email, send them a social media, whatever it is, and just ask the question. They might say no and be okay with that.
Yeah.
But they might say yes, and that would be really exciting for you. The second thing is we cannot leave the podcast without promoting our very own conference here at Midwestern Seminary.
Okay.
I get kudos points amongst the staff here if I do this. For the Church Conference is going to be on September 23rd and 24th, and it is titled Faithful, Serving the Most Beautiful People on Earth. Mm-hmm. Really, it's a conference, I think, mainly for church leaders and pastors, but you can come to FTC if you're just a church member and know what it looks like to faithfully serve. We're going to have multiple speakers, Mr. Wilson, Professor Wilson, soon to be Dr. Wilson.
Sure.
I will close out, I believe, the sessions. Who knows? We do have workshops. We do have lunches and different things. I do love the For the Church conference. We have about 1,100 people usually come to it. The seminary is kind of alive at the time, so lots of students around. My big recommendation, book early, because FTC has a kind of ruling this year that the earliest tickets are the cheapest tickets. So it's kind of one of those things off. That's when you want to get the cheapest tickets is the early one. And my biggest recommendation, if you do come to FTC here at Midwestern, don't go to everything. Go across to Freddy's. Grab a burger with some friends.
Yeah.
Walk around the campus. Go to the libraries. See what's happening here. Chat to some students. Chat to the staff here. Enjoy being here. Rest from your own ministry as you hear what it means to be faithful to the most faithfully serving the most faithful people on earth.
Most beautiful
people on earth.
Yeah.
I just like did a bad plug there.
But it's September 23rd and 24th.
Yeah. Yep.
And another reason to get tickets early is because it sells out every year.
It does.
Every year it sells out. And
we have a very limited space, so we can't just increase seats.
Yeah, I mean, that's the reason why it's usually 1,000, 1,100 folks.
Because that's the limit of our chapel space.
So that's a good word to end on. Yeah. That's a good little advertisement.
Yeah.
Good job, Ross.
I feel like there should have been some music.
If you enjoy the podcast, dear listener, give us a good review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. And until next time, may Jesus be big in your church. You've been listening to the For the Church podcast, hosted by Jared Wilson, found online at ftc.co. This resource is brought to you by Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary in Kansas City, Missouri, where we train leaders for the church.